You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this April 15th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on another gorgeous day here in the Auburn and Opelika area. Happy tax day to those who celebrate, and I think the only people that celebrate is the IRS. So happy tax day to those people who work there. I didn't have to tell you what day it was today. Most adults know that today is April 15th. Today is a tax day. But we will not be talking about our taxes, thank God. We will, in fact, be talking a lot of sports, where we are able to hit on all three major sports on the program today. Have a great guest joining us, as always, with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. So we'll tell you all about it coming up as we go. But Christian, happy Wednesday to you, sir.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday, April 15th to everybody out there.
Yeah. Not happy tax
commas
day.
Are fun, day. But not when you have to give those up.
No.
Taxes
and
life.
Insurance are the two things that, as
can
an
we make
adult,
today April Fools?
Yeah, taxes
like you gotta pay
and
this,
bro.
April Fools, you get to actually keep it all. Yeah, Wednesday. But my goodness, we are diving into a fun-ish conversation that, funny enough, we will actually bring up taxes, but not in the simple terms of everything, but one that is going to fire up a bunch of people, maybe even more so than it has already today. As we're talking the Auburn transfer portal news, there's good, there's bad, there's reportings, there's news that just makes the transfer portal in college athletics, to be completely honest with you, for a back of letter words, absolutely exhausting, and making it to where it's not even going to be enjoyably covered in the near future based off of everything that goes on with how everything works in the off season. But we are talking Auburn basketball in the transfer portal. We're also talking other teams, other big SEC names, some teams that thought they were in a really good spot, ended up not being in a very good spot with the transfer portal news, all before Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 is going to join us on the phone lines, as he does every single Wednesday at 2:30. Talk about Georgia and how they're still kind of on the wrong side of the portal. What names could Georgia still go after, and who are they willing to go after? And then the Mike White conversation of pressure continuing to build. Is that something that the people in Athens are feeling, or is it a little bit more of, okay, he's made steps in each of the first three seasons, or the last three seasons, I should say. So is that enough improvement? Also, some thoughts on Georgia's spring football notes, the spring game, and also Kirby's comments on the SEC championship that were released a couple of days ago. We'll get all of Jordan's thoughts on that. And then we're flipping over to the gridiron. We're talking with Auburn football. We're firing some people up about some offensive line conversations, some defensive line quotes, a former Auburn receiver maybe taking a shot at the Auburn Tigers. We'll dive into all of that on a very fire me up free-for-all type of Wednesday afternoon here on the show.
Yeah, so a ton to get to. We'd love to hear your thoughts on anything we're talking about or anything that's on your mind on this Wednesday afternoon in the sports world. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number if you'd like to call in and be a part of the program. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. You can give us a call there, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1060. 7. And we do begin with Auburn basketball, where there are several notes to talk about, where we thought we knew who Auburn was bringing back and not bringing back. There seems to be some debate or possible changing of the guard there, where
no pun intended.
Yeah, literally. Well,
changing of the
four
undersized
big changing of the three, where Auburn thought they were bringing back Tahad Pettiford, Sebastian Williams Adams, Simon Walker, Kevin Overton. They thought that Elijah Freeman, Caden Magwood, those types of guys were leaving Filip Jovic to go in the portal. And most of that still remains true. But Sebastian Williams Adams has become a huge talking point in the Auburn fan base, as has Elijah Freeman.
Yeah, good news and bad news. And right now, it's just news. Is that Kung Fu Panda? There is no bad news or good news. It's just news. And they talk about the prisoner that was released. And the guy's, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Master Oogway who says there is no such thing as bad news.
Just news. Just news. Then it's Tai Lung or whatever has released. And he goes, oh, that is bad news.
He goes, oh, yeah. That is bad news.
Yeah. Not necessarily on this topic of conversation, but reportings, and this is all bits and pieces of talkings and social media, and we've had a couple of the guys in the Auburn beat make comments and write about this, but being reported that Sebastian Williams Adams reportedly and apparently never signed his contract to return to Auburn. Everything was verbal and was talked about and was verbally agreed upon, but now his camp is asking for a little bit more money, which, believe it or not, doesn't make Auburn very happy. What? No way. Crazy, right? On the Elijah Freeman side of things, Elijah Freeman entered the portal, was in conversations most recently with Texas Tech. They thought there was a deal on that side of things, but that deal has worked its way out of fruition, has kind of fallen through, and so now Freeman has circled back to the Auburn
as
side
has
of
everything
things.
With Texas Tech, by the way. Have you noticed they've yet to get anybody in the transfer portal?
It sounds like a lot of, and we've heard this with SEC teams and Big Ten teams, of, hey, the money's not there yet, but it will be. Don't worry. Once you get here, it'll be here. And I think that there have been enough players over the past couple of years that have fallen for that trap. It's now become, I'm not gonna fall for that vision of hope that you are continuing to sell. And so, yes, Texas Tech is now on that side of things. And so Freeman now back to Auburn seems like a little bit more of a legitimate possibility. And everything just seems up in the air when you thought, for better or for worse, the dust had settled and you had at least found your core of what you were going to be able to work with.
And if you remember, when Elijah Freeman had entered the portal, his words and language was, I'm going to test the waters.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to go see my options in the transfer portal.
Yeah, we talked about that, and that was something after Filip, and we compared the two of, it never felt like that was a legitimate comeback opportunity or option for Filip Jovic. Elijah's the verbiage was a little bit more of a, okay, he's entering the portal, but it doesn't feel as if there's ill intention or ill will of, I am not even having a conversation. I am not willing to pick up the phone and listen to me returning back to the Plains. It did feel as if that were a little bit more of an option. And maybe based off of this type of conversation and what we've heard, the rumblings, maybe this is working its way back into a possibility with these two. So you're at the point now, if you are Auburn, of getting none of those two guys, still getting one of those, but maybe it flipping, maybe it not, or the weird possibility of you still getting both guys. Everything is still very, very much in the air for Auburn right now with the transfer portal.
And there are some reports of a couple of guys who will be visiting Auburn or plan on visiting Auburn. Justin Ray is one of those guys, the Monmouth guard, expecting to visit Auburn here this week. And what I'm concerned with is Auburn is having to focus so hard on its current roster, you're missing out on big names in the portal. You're missing out on quite a bit of opportunities there. And Auburn is working in the portal, but you're having to put more time and effort and resources into figuring out what you're going to retain versus just, okay, to heck with this. Let's just go to the portal and see what we can get our hands on.
You felt as if Auburn had done everything that they needed to do, and by no means not saying that they did not, but you figure a team like Auburn, a little bit different than most teams in today's era, just because of the youth that the team had and the opportunity to bring back a bunch of those guys, you figured it would be about a week of retainment and then a true week of the portaling. You're now into that second week of the transfer portal being open. Again, six more days of still being able to enter your name. There's obviously still going to be a whole lot of guys that have not found their home on that April 21st date yet. Now it feels like Auburn is having to go back and put that first hat on of the retainment, right? We talked about it, and you came up with the RRP, right? The retention, the recruiting, and the portal. Mm-hmm. And based off of the calendar year, those are all interchangeable of what they want to do. You were really hoping to put the retainment part to bed and really work on the portal. Now you're at the point of, okay, is Sebastian Williams-Adams, who is a oversized 3, bit of an undersized 4, but has the physicality, has the athleticism to match where you can place him in multiple positions. You have Elijah Freeman, who is a stretch 3, a little bit of a under-physical stretch 4, but one of the best rebounding wings that you can have in college basketball. You really hoped to have some of those answers figured out to where, okay, now we know that we need a little bit more size. We know that we need a little bit more guard play. We know that we need a little bit more defending out of the perimeter. Now you're back to the question marks where you still want to be able to go get guys. You also still want to have their attainment, but it makes there have a much bigger gray area. And you hope that because of that, Auburn is not sitting where some of these other teams are of, okay, we feel good. We feel good. You wake up the next day and he's either taken his name back out of the portal or he's gone somewhere else.
And as most things are, it's a two-way street. Not only is Auburn in that position of, man, we don't know if we need a 3 or not. We don't know if we need a 4 or not, right? Auburn is having those discussions, but the two-way street part of it is if and when you do go and have conversations with guys in the portal, they're asking you the same thing. Am I a starting 4 for you, or is Sebastian Williams-Adams going to be your starting 4, right? You feel that the center spot is locked down with Ngoy, the pro from France.
And Oporum as well.
And Oporum, right. So you feel pretty good about that one. Tahad Pettiford as a starting guard, Kevin Overton as a starting guard. But that's where you're running into this problem too, because yeah, you can go out and have conversations with some of the remaining forwards in the portal, but the two questions they ask you is, how much can you pay me and how much can you play me? And because of the up-in-the-air-ness of Sebastian Williams-Adams and Elijah Freeman, Auburn can't comfortably or honestly answer either one of those questions.
There's very few guys at the P4 level, or I guess P5 in basketball, of let me transfer to still get my same number of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the transfer portal is open for either the stars of the stars that are going in there for a change of scenery or at the point of going to see what the going rate can be, or it is the, I played 15 minutes at a high caliber program, but I want to take a step up personally and develop my game a little bit more. Very seldomly are you going to see somebody that wants to play at the SEC level be willing to take a chance on, okay, I could play 16 minutes a game, or I could play 28 minutes a game. That's all based off of if I sign up, or this other guy decides to stay, or if he decides to leave. And that's where you get to the point, and you feel like this is not just an Auburn thing. This is a college basketball, college sports, college fan base-wide type of thing.
Right.
You feel like it is almost borderline exhaustion, where obviously, us on the media side of things will not do what I am about to say, but the mentality of just checking out and not being emotionally attached to a single player or a single group of guys anymore, because A, the possibility of everybody returning is so minimal, and B, just the day-to-day drama that the offseason brings, it'd be so much easier to fast forward until September and go, okay, here's the team. This is what I can start to cheer for.
I mean, it's what the pros do. It's what the fans for the NFL and the NBA do. NFL, maybe a little bit more passionate. You can't be a fan of a player on a particular team for very long unless it's... heck, even LeBron, he's played on four different teams in his career.
You at least have some sort of comfortability with the contract side of things.
Somewhat, yeah.
A heck of a lot more than the college level. Which makes it, again, at least where you know, all right, for the next 2 years, Ronald Acuna's a Brave. After that, it's up in the air.
Unless in college, you obviously don't have in-season trades and stuff like that.
Right. And so that takes away a little bit of it. But, man, just the idea of how exhausting, how draining this can be for the fan base. So I can only imagine the coach's perspective of it.
Which is why coaches are making so much money, because they're having to go through a 365-day grind where most of the work, at least 50% of the work, is not even about coaching your team and winning games. It's about just building a roster and recruiting and raising money and doing all the things that have always been done, but they're just escalated at an all-time high.
And you're doing it to where 50% of the work that you do, you know, will not be there next year. And that's really tough to think about.
And so much of that work may or may not pay off.
Right.
May or may not come to fruition, right? You do all this work. You fly to the home of Tahat Pettiford in New Jersey and talk with his family and offer all these things. Doesn't mean he was going to come back. It ultimately worked, right? According to some of the reports, Nathan King of Auburn 247 put out a great article today about it, where his dad, Tahat's dad, was talking about, yeah, we wanted to be loyal. They were loyal to us. They showed the most love, yada, yada. But just because you got on a plane, your private jet, and flew up to New Jersey and got there in an hour and a half, doesn't mean you're going to get the kid.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's going to work out, right?
And by saying we had other offers and probably better ones as well.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no doubt. They had more money from some of these schools that put all their investment in basketball.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's that type of grind for 8 to 10 players who are on your team, and then the other 40 or 50 that you try to recruit in high school or transfer portal or whatever. I mean, it's a 365-day-a-year, 12-hour-a-day job minimum to be a head coach right now.
And with the hopes of it being successful and the carryover, there's no more, I can't say there's no more because there still is a little bit, but by no means is there the same type of carryover for that success can bring, right? Where it used to be you had 3 years on the football field to show that you were able to recruit and start to win and stack wins and stack recruiting classes to where you could then 5 years from your acquisitions or 5 years from you becoming the head coach at that job, you were able to see the steps and the steps and the steps and the success. You're at the point right now of, man, I hope we have success based off of what we did or did not have last year, and it just makes it very, very tough. And on our way out of break here, you mentioned tax day, and I wanted to bring something back up on our way to break, and hopefully we won't hear horns honking and car crashes, but remember the conversation that the state of Mississippi was having a couple of months ago, and I don't remember if it ever got passed, but they were wanting to not have taxes on the NIL deals.
Yeah, to help basically guarantee their players more money.
That's all. Just on a day like this, makes you think a little bit about it. Guys that are leaving schools to go try and make $2.5-3 million, and the idea of you sitting there having to pay your taxes on it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Paying taxes on your $50,000 job compared to them getting a tax break that they need on making $3 million.
That's all.
Okay. All right, we're off and running here on the Wednesday. We're off and running here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We'll talk more transfer portal news around the SEC. Kentucky is having a meltdown. Big Blue Nation is going insane. I texted our buddy Lance Dahl last night.
Bad.
I'll tell you what he said. The internet in Big Blue Nation is wild. We'll talk about that and what's going on in the transfer portal right after this, as we're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And if you're an Auburn basketball fan and you're concerned about how the transfer portal is going, don't worry. It could always be worse. It could be better, but it could always be worse. And if you call up your local Kentucky basketball fan, they'll tell you it is worse. And they'll tell you that they've never been through a hell like they're going through right now. I have never seen the Kentucky fan base, at least on the internet, go as crazy as they are right now with the amount of dudes that Kentucky and Mark Pope are apparently swinging and missing on. Because in today's transfer portal era, the expectation for big schools and programs like Kentucky is if you get a name on campus to visit out of the portal, your job is to get a commitment before he leaves. Your job, even if he has portal visits lined up afterwards, your job is to make sure he cancels those visits and he commits before he walks off your campus.
Perfect example is Dowd for Troy. He's going to Tennessee, but he's going to Auburn first.
Yeah.
And Auburn is doing everything they can to make sure that he doesn't go to Knoxville, because Auburn knows if he makes his way to Knoxville, he's not coming back.
Well, look at Flory Badunga. He visited Texas Tech. They didn't get a commitment. He visits Louisville. Boom. He commits to the Cardinals, right? That's how the portal works. Your job, and it's so different than high school, because a high schooler will visit three or four or five times right across their high school career for official visits and unofficials and a day and spring and whatever. Transfer portal, man, you got one shot. There are dudes who have committed to schools who don't even visit the schools. They talk to them online. They do it over Zoom.
And like what I talked about yesterday, they're on Zoom while in the hotel of another school that they're visiting.
Yeah, in Lubbock. Yeah. They're in Lubbock after coming off their visit to Texas Tech, but they're talking to Miami or whoever. Yeah. I mean, that's just how it goes. But, dude, Kentucky fans are in shambles.
You mentioned swinging and missing. I think Kentucky is down one in the home half of the seventh inning. They get a leadoff walk, and then the next batter squares to bunt, pops it up, catcher catches it, and throws back to first for a double play. I think that's a little bit harsher than a swing and miss, and I feel like that is where Kentucky is at right now.
I mean, they're going insane, man, because they've had so many big names that they've had visit. They felt good. They thought it was a lock, and then they leave, and now they're committing other places. And
Taking their name out of the portal.
Yeah.
As the one this morning.
Yeah, I mean, they are full on in the fire Mark Pope train, and we're a month out of the out of the season being over.
Yeah.
Like, they – dude, it's – it's hilarious to watch from a distance.
Most recently, Kentucky misses out on Rob Wright III, who has returned, withdrew his name from the transfer portal. He will stay at BYU for next season. And again, at the same time, last time we talked with Lance and had him on the show, he said that he actually felt pretty good about Jaden Quaintance returning next season. Well, last night, he declares for the NBA draft. And so there goes the other R of the retainment as well, that you feel like is not going the way of Kentucky. Colin Chandler goes back home, goes back to BYU as well. And so you feel like it's teams, and The Athletic released something this morning. It says Kansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina among teams that are hit hard by the college football transfer portal losses. And those are two of the three, if not all three, of the most premier leagues and teams in college basketball that you mention that the portal just brings so much stress to each and every year. Doubling down on Mark Pope already being on one of the hotter seats, even just in year two, it was year one and a half mm-hmm. when he was on one of the hottest seats. Now, if you do not perform the way that they need you to, they don't care if you're an alumni. They don't care if you're loved and you were on a fantastic team. You're going to be shown the door.
I mean, and not only are they dealing with transfer portal stuff, they're dealing with high school kids as well, with guys like, Tyron Stokes, the number one player in the class, who also visited this week and visited Kentucky, and they're trying to get a commitment from him because they're in a battle with Kansas and Oregon, maybe, and there Louisville was at one time. But the number one player in the 2026 class also visited Kentucky and did not commit while he was there. So, I don't know, man. I think they're probably getting ahead of themselves, but can't tell them that. They're ready to go, man. They're almost ready to bring John Calipari back.
What was our quote from Lance Daw on the way out?
Oh, he said yesterday was a wild, wild day on the internet. He did a live show last night for Locked On Kentucky, and he went live saying, "Don't panic, it's okay." I mean, he said halfway through, he just started going nuts. And
don't panic.
He began to panic, is what happened. So, don't worry, Auburn fans. It can always be worse. That's on the basketball side of things. That's in Lexington. How about we take a trip to Athens and we talk to our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. What the heck are the Dogs doing in the transfer portal? We'll talk about that. Spring practice notes as well. All that coming up with our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we also appreciate this guy for hopping on each and every Wednesday at 2:30 here on ESPN 106.7. We were just talking some basketball portal news here in Auburn. We also talked some portal news in Lexington. Let's talk some portal news in Athens. We got our guy Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 on the phone lines with us right now. My man, it's a busy time for you. I can only imagine as you are covering Georgia spring practice for football, also covering the transfer portal for basketball as well. So we always appreciate it, but really appreciate it in times like this.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me back on. And a lot to talk about. It's funny, as we are talking right now, just posted a story, Georgia just added another assistant coach for basketball. So busy time of year, but that's why we love it. And it makes sure that we have no shortage of stuff to talk about when I pop on.
Well, we can start with basketball since the transfer portal has been open for a little over a week now, where SEC teams have been active, college basketball teams have been active, because it's just so accelerated, right, compared to the high school recruiting side of things, where in high school you've got 2 or 3 years to recruit a kid, and sure, it still comes down to the money and the playing time and the development and things like that, but Jordan, you know better than anybody, in the transfer portal, you pretty much have one shot. If you can get on their radar, get them on campus, or even on a Zoom call, you've got one chance to land somebody. Tell us what's going on right now in Athens with Mike White and the Dogs.
Yeah, it's actually kind of been slow going to start this portal cycle for Georgia, which, you know, you could say that's the case for a few other programs. I know that Mark Pope and Kentucky's been getting a lot of heat this week for how things have been going, but it's a situation I'm very interested to see this weekend, because this weekend is going to be G-Day for Georgia football. And in the past couple of years, I give Georgia basketball a lot of credit. They have done a very good job of taking advantage of this weekend, of getting guys on campus, you know, and giving them an opportunity to see what it's like being in Georgia, to see what it would be like. And I think, you know, part of that sales pitch, obviously, they're enjoying a football weekend, they're having an opportunity to see the fans, but you can kind of sell, look, you know, we want to build something very similar with basketball. Let's get, come to Georgia, get an opportunity to play for the Red and Black, play in Stegman Coliseum, and see what we can build. So it's been very quiet. You know, there's been a few guys that I've had my eye on, like, you know, that have wound up going off and committing to other schools. But I think that Georgia's still kind of getting a lay of the land. I do think they're trying to kind of keep things under wraps a little bit as they work on this roster. I think this weekend's going to really tell me, you know, who are some of their priority guys, who are they really wanting, and, you know, how good of an impression can they make on these guys as they try to build for 2026, 2027.
Jordan, we've talked all about what Mike White has been able to do over the past 3 years, especially with the NIT run to the Final Four and then the improvement to making the tournament, making it to the first round, and then following it up by doing that yet again. But you feel like Georgia, now that they've gotten that little bit of a taste of March Madness again, they are seemingly building a little bit of frustration if you're not able to make that jump. Does this weekend add a little bit more pressure to Mike White going into next season, to where he understands, okay, this is where we have to make a little bit of noise, to where if we don't make that step up yet again in year four, that's when things can go a little bit south?
I think it's not so much this weekend alone, but I think there is an understanding that this is a crucial part of the year as far as it being the off season, that Georgia recognizes they've lost some pretty key pieces. You know, just in the last few days alone, Santo Cirillo announces he's going to Miami. Jeremiah Wilkinson announces last night he's going to Arkansas. They recognize they've got some big pieces to fill. Now, at the same time, they've at least put themselves in a good spot where they've got Cannon Catchings coming back, which I think is the biggest win so far of the offseason, convincing him to stay put. You got Blue Kane back. You got Smirk Millender, who I was really impressed with. You have a core nucleus. It's not like they are completely flipping this roster. So I don't know that you put everything on this weekend, but you recognize it's a very important time of year. You've got to replenish this roster, especially when you look in the SEC, what some teams have already done to this point. They recognize they got to get the job done. You certainly want to make the most of this weekend, but I don't know if you put all your eggs in that basket and say, if we don't make it happen this weekend, we're in real trouble. The window's still open. There's still names going in practically every day. You just got to know what you're looking for, what you want to go get, and how you're going to sell those guys on coming to Georgia.
We're talking to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 here on ESPN 106.7. And Jordan, this may be something you don't know or the public doesn't know, but Georgia, obviously a football-dominated school in basketball, trying to stay relevant in the SEC and across the country. For a program like Georgia basketball that has proven it can make the NCAA tournament, do we know what the financial commitment is for Georgia into its basketball program, maybe in this offseason, heading into next season, in terms of the NIL and the revenue sharing and all that type of stuff? Do we know maybe like a percentage or a roundabout of what Georgia is willing to invest in the basketball program to make it successful?
No, they've done a pretty good job of keeping that under wraps, which okay. I think is a pretty good way of operating, just because it's kind of dangerous to say, all right, this is the number. Now, a lot of talk at the beginning when the settlement was announced, you know, of how those percentages were broken up. I think initially teams were saying, you know, we'll kind of do the same thing with our revenue share. And then I think people will quickly realize, well, you don't want to say, yeah, we are committing, you know, 5% of this settlement. You know, that'll be how much money we wind up sharing year after year, because then other coaches can say, well, you don't want to go to Georgia, or you don't want to go to Auburn, or you don't want to go here because this is how much they're committing, and we're actually committing, you know, a different amount, a higher amount. So Georgia's been pretty close to the vest with that stuff. I know that, you know, obviously they're not going to spend like they are in football, and I think that what they want to do is be smart about their resources. And I give Josh Brooks, the athletic director, credit. He went on the radio on Tuesday and was just sort of talking about the process and, you know, working with the coaching staffs really of all the different sports and understanding this is our budget. This is what, you know, kind of even coming up with positional value for all the different teams and the different sports, and understanding, okay, this is what you get to work with. You know, how do you make it work? You know, how do you kind of take that pro sport model of understanding this is essentially your salary cap and what you got to play with? Just really interested to see how Georgia goes about that, what they're willing to spend, and how they reload, because this was a very talented team. I think this past team was even better than the one before it that finally broke that NCAA tournament drought. But it's going to be a tall task to get a team just as talented, but you put a lot of faith in your coaching staff, Mike White, and everyone on board to go find those pieces who make sense and can come together and put together another competitive team.
Well, I'm glad you bring up Josh Brooks, the athletic director there at Georgia, because that is a perfect segue. You've been with us long enough. You know how this show rolls. That's a perfect segue into what I wanted to ask next, because it seems like Josh Brooks, again, the AD there at Georgia, has been very active and vocal over the last several days and maybe even the last couple of weeks as well. And you've done an incredible job of covering that at dogs247.com from a guy who isn't in the headlines a whole lot, but he's made his opinions known on several different topics as of late, Jordan.
Yeah, I think the one that really caught my attention was him talking about the SEC championship game weekend. I think that's a conversation we're going to see probably really heat up in about a month, toward the end of May, when SEC spring meetings are going on and that conversation begins again. Josh Brooks, in the same radio segment that I had mentioned a minute ago, was talking about sort of his vision for what the SEC title game weekend will look like going forward. And he's someone, and this is not his idea alone, I've seen other people float this, of getting rid of the one versus two. And for Josh Brooks, he is pushing more of like a 5 versus an 8, a 6 versus a 7 in the SEC, to see those teams compete to try to fight their way into the college football playoff. Now, Josh Brooks said as much, but, you know, this is sort of an SEC forward view of, you know, the SEC wants to get as many teams in as possible. If they play these games, maybe this helps one, maybe two more SEC teams make it in to try to get, you know, 6, 7, 8 teams in the playoff in a given year. So I think we're going to see a lot of that conversation at spring meetings. I think everyone involved sort of understands, whether they like it or not, that the title game weekend, that conference championship weekend, is going to change if the playoff jumps to 16 teams, and especially if it jumps to 24. But I think even with a move to 16 teams, it's probably going to happen. So I was really intrigued by that conversation. It was a very good interview. Nick Cellini, Chris Domino in Atlanta sat down and talked with Josh Brooks. That was the big one for me. But they tackled other topics as far as the 5 for 5, you know, that's really gaining steam as far as years of eligibility. And I also wrote a story today of what we were kind of talking about with that last question, Josh Brooks sort of outlining how UGA wants its teams going about talent acquisition, what they have to keep in mind, and, you know, why sometimes you can really want a player, but the numbers don't add up, and you just kind of have to walk away from the table.
I've never agreed with something that Georgia has to say more than that right there. That is something that I have been on for quite some time and very vocal about. A 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5, it's an SEC championship day. 1 and 2 are automatic bids, and the two winners of those games are the next two up that the SEC essentially offers up for the playoff committee to put in wherever they so choose.
And you're basically a Georgia fan.
I am fully on board with the states that I used to live in, that I will go there. But that is something that takes place much later in the season, but taking place here coming up this weekend is Kirby Smart and the Georgia football's G-Day. Well, the biggest things that you have to note for Georgia football on the way out of here, Jordan, is this still, I believe we've talked about this, still a more traditional, going back to the regular type of spring game, and then any positional notes that you have that SEC fans need to keep their eye out for?
Yeah, it'll be your traditional scrimmage, nothing too fancy, as you'll have the first team offense versus the first team defense, and you'll continue to see different players get in the mix over the course of the afternoon. And I think, to me, there's a few positional groups I'm really paying attention to. Wide receiver, this has been a room that had a ton of questions, maybe the one that folks were the most uncertain about going in to the spring. I think the room on the whole has had a really good spring, but I don't know if there's been a single breakout guy or a guy who has just dominated. So really interested to see how they show up in the scrimmage, how they go up against what I think is a very talented group of cornerbacks. Elsewhere, offensive line, the battle at right tackle continues. I think you'll see Jod Jackson. I think you'll see Juan Gaston. I think you'll see Michael Ooney, all trying to fight and show that they belong. They got a chance to start this year. Outside linebacker, I don't know how much you're going to let those guys get after the quarterbacks, but I'm really impressed with what I've heard to this point from a group of Quintavious Johnson, Amaris Williams. Auburn fans remember him well. Chase Linton, Isaiah Gibson, interested to see them. And then I'll shout out to quarterback. We know Gunnar Stockton will be the quarterback, but there's a lot of competition for that backup role. Ryan Montgomery, who's a redshirt freshman, he is very much impressed this spring. This will be a chance for him to kind of put an exclamation point on it. But Ryan Puglisi's got a year on him in this system. He's very much capable, too. We'll pay attention to what Gunnar Stockton does, but I would tell folks, watch those quarterbacks as well. The guys behind him are going to really be fighting for the right to back him up this year.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He covers the Georgia Bulldogs better than anybody. We're always so excited to talk to him, especially in a time like this where there's spring practice notes, which will wrap up this week for Georgia. The transfer portal, which will officially close next Tuesday, but kids can still commit and sign later than that. And Jordan will have all that coverage for you at Dogs247.com. So plug it one more time. Tell people what you got going on and what's coming up over the next several days, my friend.
Definitely. I'll shout out that G-Day will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Central on Saturday, and you can watch it ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus, but you can follow along at dogs247.com. I'm on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at dogs247, and I'll tell folks that dogs247, we've got a 60% off sale right now, and
there we go.
I haven't checked out our buddies over at Auburn Undercover, but a lot of the time they have the same sort of deals going on, so I'd like to shout out them as well. Jason Caldwell, Nathan King, Christian Clemente, they all do a fantastic job. Go check out what they're doing over there. I know that we're all excited for the football season to get here. You know, spring and the G-Day or the A-Day games. Not quite the same thing as the fall, but this is a nice chance to be back in the stadium, see a little bit of the action going on, and start the countdown until we get to late August and September.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, my friend. We appreciate it as always. Enjoy G-Day this weekend and covering the transfer portal between now and next Wednesday, because that's when we'll talk to you next.
Yeah, sounds great. I appreciate you guys.
Jordan Hill, check him out. Dogs247.com. Also, Olivia Sayer, who covers Georgia baseball for them. She does a phenomenal job as well, covering all things Georgia athletics. And so, slow in the transfer portal for Georgia basketball. And look, from the outside looking in, and just based off the comments there from Jordan here quickly before we get to break, I think it is what it is with Georgia basketball. They're just one who has planted their flag, and it's going to be off football. And if you can win some games and make the tournament with the little amount of funding we give you, awesome. We'll put your name on the wall somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's, you ain't getting much as the head coach of Georgia basketball.
I would imagine it's football, and then baseball and basketball are relatively split, but you get a little bit more on the baseball side of things just with certain players.
Yeah, and I think, as crazy as it sounds, you, in today's landscape of SEC baseball versus basketball, and this is such a crazy thing, but you need more money in baseball because it's more competitive than basketball is right now. If you want to be at the top.
Yeah.
Which Georgia does for baseball. Basketball, they clearly aren't in that boat.
They want to be, but,
well, the fans want to be. I think behind closed doors, Georgia Athletics doesn't care if they're at the top for basketball.
Sure. I think it's more of a they want to be, but they don't want to take the extra steps financially.
Yeah, exactly. Though, if they luck into it, they will gladly take it, but they're not going to invest what it takes to get there, basketball-wise.
Until they get that true taste of, oh, okay, this is kind of fun.
Which you thought would happen and continue on after having guys like Anthony Edwards roll through there.
Yeah.
Which was,
they need the Texas type of run, just so that way they can get that sense of, okay, everybody now is watching Georgia basketball. Let's try and make ourselves a little bit more of a national brand.
Which I don't know the official numbers in Texas land for basketball and Coach Miller, but I would imagine he stepped in and said, okay, you've seen what I can do with a little bit. Give me just a bit more and watch what I can do. Mike White does not have, even with the years that Mike White has been there and taken them to the tournament a couple of times,
Coach Miller at Texas already has more pull in Austin than I would say Mike White does in Athens.
I would imagine there was a bit more insight that Sean Miller gave with his contract of taking that job than what Mike White did when he was at Georgia, meaning when he was hired at Georgia.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, we'll get to break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line right after this.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 for joining us. And hey, he even alluded to the Big Blue Nation meltdown that's happening with the transfer portal right now. And I mean, I feel like there are very few schools in the portal right now who are over the top happy with what is happening so far. I mean, for as much noise as there's been, there hasn't been a ton of just like, holy cow news. There's been a couple of like major headlines, yeah. Grand slams, but hasn't been a major home run type of transfer portal cycle yet.
And even then, if you're talking about a Louisville type of team that got, what, two of the top 13 players in a transfer portal, it may feel really good, and there may be a lot of noise on that side of things, but you know, behind closed doors, they're sitting there going, oof, all right, that hurt, please work out.
Yeah.
Please pan out how we hope, otherwise this could go down.
They're going
really
all in,
quickly.
Man. Yeah, they're going all in, which is what teams like that have been waiting for. And I actually read something interesting. I know we got to go, but I did not realize the amount of money in the kickback that Louisville gets from their Yum Center deal, the amount of money they get from their arena in the KFC Yum Center. Apparently, Louisville uses quite a bit of money from that, and I did not know that.
You're saying that companies can get like brand deals to take over things? No way.
Ever heard of private equity?
Man. Yeah. No way we've talked about that.
Nope, not at all. Not on this show. Hour number one's in the book. Stick around. We'll talk about something in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon in the Auburn and Opelika area. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, we talked a lot of transfer portal for Auburn basketball as there is more drama just on the retention side of things for the Tigers and head coach Stephen Pearl trying to figure out who in the heck is going to be on this team next year and where they're trying to go in the portal after that. We talked a lot about that. Plus, we had our guy Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 who joined us on the show as he does every Wednesday to give us the updates or lack thereof from Athens in terms of Georgia basketball.
in the transfer portal. Also, the latest intel on Georgia spring practice and G-Day coming up this weekend. So all of that in a jam-packed hour number one.
Here in hour number two, we got a little bit of Auburn baseball conversation. We got a little bit of Auburn football conversation and a little bit of what's next for Auburn on the baseball diamond as well. We'll get to that here in just a little bit, but we are starting with some Auburn football spring notes. A little bit generic. We have some quotes as well that we feel like will fire some people up. Again, we have some good ones, we have some bad ones, and we have some recirculating or resurfacing quotes that's maybe not the exact quote, but the topic of the quotes you feel like is concerning, maybe is the word to use. All of that coming up here in hour number two. No Daryl Daprich joining us on the phone lines, usually starting us with hour number two. And so because of that, that means the entire second hour is wide open for you at 334-321-1390. If you have any thoughts on the topics that we are discussing, anything on your own as well, again, give us a call, 334-321-1390. The lights will light up right next to our good buddy Tripp. He will be able to take you the way, and he will put you on the line, and you'll get to talk with us and talk, get your thoughts out here on this Wednesday afternoon. The text box is always open as well at 334-784-1067. An Auburn spring practice is where we start hour number two with Coach Malzahn, who makes his way back to the Plains and out there with Coach Golish.
As all fired head coaches do at Auburn.
How many places?
Zero.
Are, and this zero. is not even a negative thing at Auburn, but how many fired head coaches not only...
It's a tradition like no other.
Not only stay at Auburn or at their location, but then retire and come back. I mean, the list just grows. And again, this is not necessarily a negative. It's just more of... And for Coach Golish, he talked all about it being a big-time positive. And I think what we'll dive into regarding that is a very good thing. But one of those of... Yeah. Welcome back, Coach.
Yeah.
Good to see you. You do feel like he is in a little bit of a different echelon than some of the others, though.
I mean, he at least has the positive memories to lean on, right? And for Auburn fans to kind of tap into, there would clearly be a difference if you were walking downtown this evening to go get yourself a beverage and...
Harsin?
Brian? that would be a little bit different, right? But, you know, we hear it all the time, and talking with guys like our buddy Anthony Turling, who we had on the show yesterday with tourism and things like that. I mean, it speaks more to Auburn, the town, Auburn, Opelika, the area, Lee County in general,
sure,
more than the university that obviously has a big tie into it. But I think that speaks very highly of just the area that we live in, where you hear so many people, even away from sports, who grew up here or lived here for a certain amount of time, and then they move away for whatever reason, job, family, travel, whatever, and so many people end up finding their way back to Auburn, right? You feel like you hear and see so many head coaches do that. Coach Chizik is one of those. Malzahn is one of those. There are just several guys. Tuberville always comes back as much as he can. Obviously, he's doing the political side of things now. But, yeah, I mean, there's not many places that can get away with it, and not many places that, yeah, you get fired from and say, yeah, but it's all love. We're good. I'm sure the nice paycheck helps.
I would be willing to say the buyout probably helps.
Yeah.
The little lake house 30 minutes down the road doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
But again, very, very few places, and I think that does speak on, you mentioned it, the location, the people, the atmosphere, and just the environment of everything that Auburn, Opelika, Lee County is able to provide. And Coach Golish was a big speaker on that with his comments after their scrimmage yesterday, talked all about being able to welcome Coach Malzahn back. And this is just another one that you add to the list of longtime either coaches or players that are coming back to be a part of the Auburn program. And we mentioned it for Golish, especially in year one. Man, you want to talk about a really early on way to get the fan base, to get everybody to support you. It's to keep doing what you're doing. I'm talking about, man, how so many different times you walk out to practice and it's, holy cow, I remember him, I remember him, I remember him, I remember him. And you're seeing some of these comments as well on social media all about the positivity that Golish is talking about and how he's not only wanting them and asking them to come back, but begging them to come back and bring their families and be a part of this team. And Coach Malzahn is a perfect example of that because he knows this place better than just about everybody. Coach Golish talked about how he's going to be a huge resource for this Auburn program. And as much as Coach Malzahn is willing to help out and give advice and give strategics and things like that, Coach Golish said, quote, I'm super grateful for him and Christy, the support that they've shown myself and Lex, which has been absolutely awesome. I'm super, super grateful to have a wealth of knowledge here and a guy that cares about Auburn so deeply. And that was the first part of the quote. But the second part is what I feel like made the Auburn family really happy. Golish continues on by saying, quote, I have no ego in this thing. If there's somebody that's been there and done that and had success, I am all ears. And that feels like a breath of fresh air, understanding that every coach talks about how it takes a village. And as Mr. Terling said yesterday, you use that term even more so on the loveliest village on the plains. But how nice is it to be able to have a coach that sits there and says, yeah, I don't have all the answers right now. But there are people, there are families, there are groups of people, man, that I will take a lot of knowledge from and be a sponge, especially in my first couple of years of continuing to learn, continuing to grow, continuing to understand how this is done. You take the Iron Bowl period that they're running in practice as the perfect example. Coach Golish, honestly, has absolutely no idea what the Iron Bowl truly means. He knows what it is, and I'm sure that he's watched it, and now that he's been at Auburn, he understands the rivalry and can compare when he was at Tennessee or with Ohio State or with South Florida. He can put together bits and pieces of the rivalry. But man, you then have others that are able to speak on it. You have guys like Cody Burns that played in it and multiple times and multiple different positions and the selflessness that it takes, but the understanding of, man, this is what people live for in the state of Alabama. To be able to have somebody like this at the helm that although he doesn't get it, he's getting it by plenty of other people that are willing to give the time and the effort. And you feel like, again, every box that has been checked other than the win column so far, you feel like is going in the column of a W.
Yeah, and with Golish and the way that he's acting and the things that he's doing, I feel like he has an opportunity to be somewhat in between the previous two head coaches, right? Because Brian Harsin was the hard SOB guy that steps in and I don't know this place, but you're not going to tell me how it goes because I'm the head coach. I'm the head man. It's my way or the highway. And if you don't want to be a part of it, then you can get the heck out, right? That clearly didn't work. And in a place like Auburn, for good or for bad, that attitude just doesn't fly here. And that's a different conversation for a different time. But the way that Harsin did it and the horror stories that have come out of that regime, that way doesn't work anywhere, really, to be quite honest with you. And then you go from that to what I would consider the opposite end of the spectrum of a guy like Hugh Freeze. And these are not any personal attacks. I'm talking just simply in their coaching program running ways. You went from Brian Harsin on one end of the spectrum to Hugh Freeze on the other, who was not over the top, was fairly soft in his ways, I think, and very lax in a lot of things, and was focused on, you know, just being together and more sentimental rather than we got to get to work, we got to win some football games, right? And that clearly did not work, and I don't think it does work in today's era of college football. But now you have found someone in Alex Golish who, at least for now, appears to be somewhere in between. When it's time to get to work, they do it. When they have things to do, they do it. But he's also welcoming guys back to this program. He is allowing access for people and for fans and alumni to be a part of it. And realizing, like you mentioned, Christian, he doesn't have all the answers, but he's not going to put on a fake mask and act like that he does, right? So I would say, at least so far, Alex Golish is somewhere in between the two previous regimes, who just so happen to be on opposite ends of the way of doing things. And will it turn into wins? Couldn't tell you. Have no idea. But at least for now, it is nice to see. And the word we continue to use is refreshing.
Looking at some stats, and we understand the pages have turned, but Malzahn went 68-35 as Auburn's head coach from 2013 to 2020. You combine 68 divided by 8, 8.5 wins a season. What we would give to have that over the past half decade, which is relatively
frustrating. Or just since he got fired.
Yes, yeah. Give us anything comparable to that.
Which I guess that's a little over half a decade.
But right, still. But just take that nugget for what you will. There are some other quotes from Alex Golish as well that has fired up the fan base for better or for worse. He loved everybody talking about the no ego and saying that he doesn't understand it, but he's willing to learn and is continuing to learn what we just got done talking about. There's also quotes about a position group that needs a lot of work. And nothing against him. He's saying it like it is. He's calling it out. But it's more of a, you mentioned the horror stories. You feel like this has turned into a horror story over the past couple of years. Coach Golish says, quote, "The group that needs work. I continue to harp on the O-line. They've had really high moments. And then when it's bad, it's bad." And that, I feel like, is what the social media fan base has taken and run with a little bit. We understand it's still very early. We understand that it is still in the middle of the spring, and we understand that this is still a pieced-together program and football team based off of South Florida, based off of what Golish was able to retain. But those comments are not necessarily what you want to hear from a past trauma type of statement.
So basically, the Auburn offense sucks. They can't do anything. They're going to be terrible, and Auburn's going to miss a bowl game again. That's what I heard.
Yep. I think that is not jumping to the extreme. I think that's the reality.
I think that's what Golish said. I think you rephrased what he said.
That actually was what he said, but I was paraphrasing. Yeah. He said the game in Atlanta is just, I mean, we're done.
They've actually called it off. Auburn has surrendered.
Discussions right now.
Ah, okay.
But until the offensive line fixes it, then, you know, we'll just go from there.
Well, let's go to the phone lines and talk to a guy who might be the most passionate about the offensive line that has ever been a part of this radio show. 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on the comments from head coach Alex Golish about the struggles of the offensive line, Spectre?
Well, same old story, just a different chapter. They better get their act together, I tell you that. We go through another fifth or maybe sixth season like we've been going through, we're in dire straits. I'm gonna reserve my other comments about that till after fall practice and see what comes out of fall practice.
Which I think is smart.
You very much so, yeah.
Yeah. I did want to comment about the coaches that love the loveliest village on the plains.
Okay.
You know, if most coaches that don't leave in a bad note there, they usually have a way of staying around here. I mean, it started with Pat Dye. He stayed around here, and a lot of his coaches stayed around here. And, you know, Tuberville, if he becomes governor, you know he's going to be chairman of the board.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
He's chairman of the board at Auburn University.
I mean, it's just and again, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, and maybe it's because we're here and we just see it more, I guess, but it's a trend for Auburn that you have a lot of previous coaches and their families, too. That obviously has a big factor in it on just wanting to be back in Auburn.
Cody Burns is back, and you see that, you know, Malzahn, you know, I tell you what, offensive coordinator, you can't beat him. At Florida State, hell, I predicted he'd beat Alabama that first game, but Florida State had terrible defense. And the poor guy, he was scoring his 30 and 40 points, but the defense was gearing up 40 and 50 points. So, you know, don't forget Coach Dunn. He's on the radio station here.
Yeah.
And let's see, who else have we got that just loves Auburn? Well, Harsinger ain't around here nowhere. We know that. You know, there was a while that, gosh, doggett, I can't think of his name now. He stuck around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's a popular thing, and not dogging Auburn or guys who or coaches who come back. It's just it's a trend that Auburn has built up, and it's a reputation that Auburn has as well. And whether that's good or bad, that's up for people to interpret.
Yeah, getting back to this offense again, I'm still thinking about that. And we brought this UCF offensive line here. A couple guys coming in on the portal.
Mm-hmm.
We better get it together. That's all I got to say. Because no matter how good Brown is, if he ain't got an offensive line, he ain't doing squat.
That's right. You're not wrong about it, Specter. You are one of the more vocal ones in terms of the offensive line. You know where it starts.
That's right. All right, buddy. I'll let you guys go today.
All right. Appreciate the call, Specter. Good to hear from you, my friend. 334-321-1390. And look, he said it, and there is no secret. It's the story as old as time at Auburn. Get an offensive line, and everything else will work itself out.
Skill groups, other than maybe, I mean, the past couple of years, but even then, that hasn't been the main issue. The skill groups haven't been able to really find a whole lot of success based off the offensive line. It's a story as old as time, as you mentioned it. You get the guys up front, let the skill guys go to work and follow behind the big bellies, everything works its way out relatively simply.
We'll get to the phone lines once again here when we come back from a commercial break. I believe we've got John in Auburn who is holding on. We'll get to you right after this here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Let's get back to the phone lines here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, 334-321-1390. We begin with John in Auburn. Appreciate you holding on through the break, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Christian, for those of us in Braves country,
yes, sir.
Where in the battery are we going to put the Dom Smith statue?
not quite. Ooh. Maybe like yellow parking deck for now. We got to still work our way, but so far, and it adds a little bit more after being a former player of a big time rival and now having big time success as a Brave.
Excellent hire, excellent signing. As an aside, and I'm going to get to a baseball point. Give me one more second. Walt Weiss is our best manager since Bobby Cox.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but hey, here's what I was haven't heard of. Baseball thought. What did y'all's thoughts on this?
Mm-hmm.
I think ABS is here to stay. I think PitchCom is here to stay. What if we kind of revise the system a little bit? What if umpires were in on PitchCom and knew what pitch was coming before it was thrown to help their accuracy in judging balls and strikes?
Just so that way there was no possibility of them being fooled by expecting fastball and getting a breaking ball, and even if it's a good pitch, you don't get rewarded because you already had your mind set on it most likely being a fastball?
Correct. What do y'all think about that tweak? I think that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. I feel like if the ABS system does stay and becomes even more advanced to where you don't challenge it, if automated balls and strikes becomes a thing across the board, which I do think is a real possibility, then that would take out the need of the umpire actually calling the ball and the strike, if that makes sense, John. But if we stick with the current system, I've never thought of that, the umpire being in on the pitch. But, yeah, rather than, oh, that wasn't a fastball, that was a slider. Oh, I wasn't – had to adjust my – you know, had to adjust where I was looking. And so, yeah, I think there's a possibility with that. But that would be my recommendation is – I've been saying that for years. Take the decision out of the home plate umpire's hands anyway and make it automated.
I am more so, John, more fired up in the conversation of I think if there is a issue with PitchCom, that needs to work its way into a pitch clock violation.
I agree with that.
I can get on board with that. Anyway, guys, thank you. Hey, the Braves have the Marlins tonight. They're a big road trip at Philly, but a good chance to gain some ground on the entire division. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, John. Good to hear from you, sir. 334-321-1390. We may take an early break so we can have Terry and give him plenty of time to discuss what he wants to. I assume it's football, but we'll get to him in just a moment. But to John's thoughts there quickly on baseball, yeah, I've never thought of that, but it's no secret I'm a fan of just make it automated regardless. I mean, rather than the challenge system that we're doing, which I think has been relatively successful.
Yeah.
And has been well received, better received than I thought, I think.
We are at the point of delaying the inevitable, I fear. And I think that is where things not necessarily get scary, but get to the point, I mean, where if you're the home plate umpire, you might as well just bring your lawn chair and sit back there until there's a play at the plate. Because you're delaying the inevitable of what is bound to be working its way into the very near future.
It's the same thing as the line judge in football. Like, if we go to technology based...
No, we are forever making sure that two grown men walk with their 400 chain links that work out to 9.96 yards, so that way then another grown man can go and pick it up right at the 30-yard line and walk all the way across the far side of the field to the opposite hash mark and then place it down, and then one of those other grown men that are carrying the chains get to slowly and dramatically stretch out the chain link until you stab it into the ground and see if the nose of the football has passed it or not.
I mean, right?
Put this a dang is, chip mean, in each end of the football like the NFL is doing of the automated first down markers.
Yeah.
Do that with the end zones. Do that with everything. It's not going to be long until you have sensors underneath a football field that you can almost, like Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime, see every single stat. You're going to be able to see the impression of footprints and see when, oh, Christian McCaffrey's left knee was down. However, the nose of the football has already extended it, and it's going to become, I mean, for better or for worse, so technology forward. But if you're going to use a little bit of it, you feel like there's plenty of it that's not being used that could better what we need to prioritize.
And it could clear up the things that we've just accepted for all these years.
Yes. Did he cross the pylon? I don't know. The place stands.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take a break. Terry, you're up next, my friend. Stick around.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are staying hot this afternoon, and you can be a part of that, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. We appreciate you holding on, my man. What's on your mind on this Wednesday?
Glad to do it, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Well.
Great. Now, listen, I want to get you guys' opinion on something.
Okay.
Where do y'all stand when somebody says a little village on the plains? Because I've only been a resident here for about 3 years. Or so, but there's so much construction going on, I don't think there's any plains anymore.
Yeah, the loveliest village on the plains is no longer. We can start talking the loveliest city on the plains. We can start talking the loveliest metropolis on the plains, if you want. I mean, yeah, this place is in the, my goodness, in almost the 6 year, no, it's not been 7 years, has it? I don't know. In the many, many years that I've been here, this place has doubled in size, it seems like. I don't know if this stat is still accurate, but at one time, Auburn was one of the, like, top 10 fastest-growing cities in America, Terry.
Didn't they build a new high school a few years ago?
Well, they built that new high school for Auburn High, yes. They built the new building. Now, I'm sure that you know, they're building an entire new high school system where they're going to split Auburn High because there's so many daggum kids in there that they're going to split them up and put them in two separate high schools.
And oh my goodness. Both of those high schools are going to be 7A or 6A programs.
Well, not necessarily.
Based off now how the split worked, but
still deciding all of that, yes, but still two major high schools.
So, Jacob, what are they going to call the high schools? They're both Auburn, so what are they going to call them?
Well, Auburn High will remain Auburn High with Auburn City Schools, and then Plains High School will be the other one. It'll still be in the same school system.
You mean Metropolis High School?
Yeah. It'll be called Metropolis High School, City High School, you know. No, it'll be Plains High School, Terry.
That's interesting right there.
Yep.
And are you guys at all surprised at all about the basketball portal?
There's
an activity in it? Because nobody wants to come play for Stephen Pearl. The guy's an idiot.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I am a little surprised that there is a lack of additions in the portal for Auburn. But again, we mentioned it in the first hour, where Auburn, I think, is having to spend so much time on what the retention is going to be, right? They're having to discuss Sway and Tahad, and they had to talk Freeman and things like that. I think Auburn has spent so much time there. They are working in the portal, but they haven't been able to be as aggressive as I think they wanted to be, Terry.
Remember something, Jacob, Christian? It's not going to work because it's never worked. The coach in waiting.
What about John Shire at Duke?
Well, I mean, Duke, you have the number one recruiting class in the country, and you've been to the Sweet 16, the Final Four, what, 20 times?
Auburn went to the Final Four a year ago.
Every year. It's easy to recruit to that. See, that's kind of an unfair statement, I think.
But he was a coach in waiting.
That's not comparing Alabama under Saban to Sanford.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if I'd go. I get your point. It is a rare thing where the coach in waiting does actually work in college basketball, but
it doesn't work.
I think the jury is still out on the Stephen Pearl era at Auburn, but there is a lot of work to do, and they are working rapidly, and they're behind. I'll be straight up with you, Terry. They're behind in a lot of different areas and trying to make up for that.
They have had the returning players and all that, but that's what you want to do, return the team that went 17-16 and went to the NIT, right?
At least return the ones that were impactful for you, yes.
I just don't think it's never worked. Now I know, Jacob, you brought up John Shire. That's a different animal. That's a totally different animal. They have the number one recruiting class every year, and you got your own personal spokesman on ESPN, Duke Vitale.
Vitale. That's good.
That's just a different animal. It really and truly is. And plus, I think Krzyzewski didn't coach a lot in the last maybe season or so. He let John Shire do some coaching.
Yeah, that is a fact. He did do that.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you holding on as well. 334-321-1390.
We're always happy to have two co-hosts. I'm glad you were able to take the first one. I don't get stumped very often. There was not a response that came to my brain right there for that one. A
couple of text messages in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. It's open all show long, each and every day. Someone texted in and said they were in the Auburn High School graduating class of 1991 with 212 kids in it. They said when it was still a little village. Yeah.
Man.
That's still more than I graduated with in 2018. So.
How many did you graduate with?
I think 125.
Holy cow.
Which I've come to learn, there are several people who have graduated with way less. I know people that
85.
I know people that graduated with like 40 people in their class.
In South Georgia, where I started, the college level, we had kids. It was literally like, yeah, all four of us that graduated are in this room together.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm the valedictorian, really. So I came in fourth. I
was the fourth smartest in the class, yeah, baby.
Out of five kids that I
they don't. Nope, you leave that part out. Nope, they don't need to know that part. Someone else texted in and asked, will Plains High School play at Duck Sanford Stadium? Yes, they will. They will be playing at the Duck. Plains, the latest updates on Plains High School is that they will open up the fall of 28. That's the current plan. They've broken ground. It's down there on University across from the neighborhood Walmart down there by the new Amsterdam and Milo's and stuff like that. It's down on that side of town. They have broken ground down there. It's a big old piece of land. But yes, Plains High School for football, the plan is for them to play at the Duck. Partial reason why that Auburn High, when they replaced the turf at Duck Sanford this offseason, they replaced it, A, because it needed to be, but they only put blue and white in the end zones. They took the signature Auburn High A out of center field, so they don't have to replace that in a couple of years. They'll just have to replace the end zones.
Yeah. Is there anything? I don't remember. Is there anything? Or did it say, like, City of Auburn, or is there anything that goes
at center field?
At midfield?
No.
Just nothing?
No, nope, there's nothing there. Just I think it's a, if I remember right, it's a thin black circle.
There you go.
That's it. So, yeah, no Auburn High A, which is really upsetting. But, yes, the two football teams will share the stadium. Believe the plans are for them to have their own baseball, softball, stuff like that. But the football stadium in particular, yes, they will share the Duck.
This is something that obviously has plenty of time to be worked out. But with all of the new workings at the high school level, still plenty of time. Is this going to be they do their best calendar for home and road, or is it going to turn into a Thursday, Friday type of
I have been told probably both.
Okay.
Probably both.
Obviously makes it easier when Auburn High goes on the road. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, then they can play at home on Friday night. But
right.
On the two games a year that conflict works its way into mm-hmm. existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday.
Which you see a lot in Montgomery.
Very much so, yeah.
Crampton Bowl, you see that all the time down there. You'll see it in some Birmingham schools as well.
For our area, you see it with Sylacauga, with them and B.B. Comer.
Yeah,
as well.
I had no idea that B.B. Comer played at Sylacauga's football stadium.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I'm pretty sure because when we went there last year, I'm pretty sure at midfield, it's just like Iron City or Steel or whatever, something at midfield, but it took me a minute to realize, like, why is that there? And it's, yeah, because
interesting.
There's multiple teams that play on it.
Yeah, and Crampton Bowl, you've got Jag, at least from our region, Jag and Carver play at the Crampton Bowl and stuff like that. So, yeah, so Plains High School, for people that don't know, will be the plan is to open the fall of 2028. And, yeah, you talk about a village that is now a city, and that is Auburn. Of course, bleeding into Opelika, Lee County has just exploded as well. And so, Terry, we appreciate the call, and again, big portal updates hoping to come for Auburn at some point, but I did want to mention a little bit and talk about Auburn baseball from last night, who got
segueing from John.
Yeah, got a solid win against Alabama State last night, relatively stress-free, in a game that Butch Thompson said, I don't think we could have really executed any better than we did, and I would tend to agree. Offensively,
yeah.
Pitching, defense, I mean, everything just worked for Auburn. And how refreshing was it compared to what you saw the last time you had a midweek game? Different level of competition between a ranked Jack State team and, no disrespect, but Alabama State. But this was not about beating Alabama State. This was about Auburn baseball showing up prepared, wanting to be there, and executing the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, executing, doing what needed to be done, and taking care of business in a way that momentum stays on your side, not only in your dugout, but just from what you've been able to do over the past couple of weekend series, and again, most recently with the series win over Kentucky on the mound. You were a pitch away from being perfect, which is really, really cool. I guess from a no-no, you had a walk in there as well. So five indirect pitches from being perfect, but
nice.
Again, if that's the complaint that you have, Auburn strikes first again, home half of the first inning. They go up 1-0, score another one in the third. You put up a five spot in the fourth, two in the fifth, four in the sixth. The middle innings dominated by the Tigers. They win it 13-0, 17 hits, and another one of those storylines. Every single starter for Auburn got a base hit.
Yeah, you can't beat it, man. And for several other SEC teams who fell yesterday game in the midweek. Auburn was not one of them. And Eric Guevara continues to play well with the bat in his hands. I have just been blown away at his skill set at base. I mean, he continues to flash the leather over there.
You always hear all about, again, he was one of the top-rated third basemen in the country, but a lot of that is just, okay, well, what does he do at the plate, right? He plays the third base position, or this guy plays center field, but does he have the tools and the tactics in the field that can make him a solid player at the next level? I don't think there's really any question on what Eric Guevara can do at third. He's quickly become one of the best, if not the best, fielding third baseman in the league. And when you have a guy like that that you trust to bat third, go deep a couple of times, have five RBIs, 3 for 4 on the afternoon, and continue to see the batting numbers rise, right? I mean, he had the tough stretch kind of in the start of SEC play, and it was, all right, EG's got to be one of those guys that picks this team up. And we picked him a couple of times, and I know our buddy Jack Hudden did as well, of, all right, who's the guy that needs to have a big weekend? Who's the guy that needs to be in the heart of the lineup that you can't take out of the lineup, but that needs to make a big-time statement? Eric Guevara has been that name. He's going to have to be that big name come this weekend at Florida, because it's a relatively quick turnaround. It is not Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which changes the calendar.
Traveling
just a
today.
Little bit. In a weird way, it could favor Auburn. It favors the road team just a little bit because of that game one being pushed up a day. That being said, what may not favor Auburn is the fact of Bethune-Cookman going to Gainesville in the midweek. Bethune-Cookman beat Florida last night 13-7. A 7 spot in the top half of the 7th inning. They went at 13-7, 13 runs on 13 hits. Florida had 7 runs on 11 hits. You mentioned a couple of the other SEC teams. Georgia had to scratch and claw a win over East Tennessee State, and that was like a noon first pitch. But Georgia scored 5 in the first, 4 in the 5th. And other than that, he had to scratch across a couple of ones. Tennessee takes care of UNC Asheville. South Carolina has to scratch and claw against Davidson. Vanderbilt comfortably took care of their counterpart from all of 4 minutes down the road. In Lipscomb, Texas A&M got a nice win. Arkansas got a nice win. They run-ruled Pine Bluff 10-2 in 7 innings. Ole Miss with a nice win over Southern Miss, which was a little bit not surprising, but a comfortable win on that side of things. Mississippi State beats Samford. Alabama beats UAB. A couple other of these teams that did what they needed to do, but Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma as well, and so makes what could be this upcoming weekend very, very interesting, as you're going to either see one of two things. You're going to see the league continue to stretch itself out, or there's just going to be a whole conglomerate, a whole parking jam right in the middle of the conference. Auburn at the top half right now, kind of the top third, but a chance to take a couple of games and really work your way above that echelon of great teams to elite teams in the SEC to hopefully work their way into a comfortable super regional spot.
Yeah. All right, we will take a break. I am dipping out a few minutes early. I'm heading to SEMO Field. Got Auburn High Baseball taking on Opelika, hosting Opelika's second area series of the year. Christian, if you would so kindly plug my broadcast info on the way out, but I'm going to try and I'm going to go fight the after school traffic. Go sit and see if I can get caught in a few in between a couple of school buses.
You want me to go shout everybody out and say that, you know, we are the ESPN 106.7 Auburn leader?
Yes, please. I picked up on that.
Thank
you. I'm just going to turn the lights on top of the Kia and just, you know, see if that'll get me in somewhere.
There we go. I think that'll work.
Yeah. Okay. Christian will wrap it up when we come back. And, that'll be it here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line in Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, just watch that station vehicle pull out of there. Those lights were flashing. Not only was it flashing, I saw that he had that speaker just bumping the radio station. And so major shout out to the Auburn High Tigers. That's where he's headed to SEMO Field to take on the Opelika Bulldogs in a way that has changed a little bit in the higher classifications of baseball, going a little bit more like the college level, going a three-game set, as you always see, but doing it over 3 days. So rather than in comparison to my schedule here this week, we take on Dadeville tomorrow at John Meals Field. We then go to Dadeville in games 2 and 3 of the series, but you play both of those in 1 day. For Auburn and Opelika this week, it is at Auburn tonight, and then it is at Opelika the next 2 days, but that is a three-game set over 3 days. And so taking a little bit more of that college route. But as always, you can listen to Jacob Goins and the Auburn High Tigers. I believe Jack Hutton will be making his way over there at game time as well, over there on 963WLEE.com. And as always, that newly revamped Radio Alabama app, that's where you can go to listen to him. That's where you can go to listen to the Lee Scott Sports Network on Tiger Country 104.5 as well, and our show as we wrap up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Some programming notes again over on Wings on Thursday, looking at some of these, the game times and the first pitch this weekend. A little bit surprising. Again, I had to remind myself that it is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday start, and with A-Day, not exactly sure if it was directly a response to this. I wouldn't imagine so with it being in Gainesville, unless they are also I need producer Trip on this. Is Florida having their spring game on Saturday as well? Because first pitch on Thursday at 5:45, or rather the on-air time at 5:45 Central Time. It'll be a 4:15 start on air over on Wings on Friday, and Saturday is a noon Eastern time. It is an 11 a.m. Central first pitch, and so the guys over on Wings 94.3 will go on air at 10:45 on Saturday morning.
Florida already had their spring game. I think it was this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember seeing the deep balls to the receivers. Yes.
Yeah, and then Philo threw two picks.
There we go. More important news on that side of things. So, yeah, really interested in seeing. You see a couple of the getaway games being early, but, man, a 10:45 on airtime. It's 11 a.m. first pitch, which, again, sets it up to be a relatively favorable, and you say that with air quotes, series for Auburn. Again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's a 6 o'clock, 4:30, and 11 a.m. first pitch, and so maybe can favor the Auburn Tigers just a little bit. Then they return in the midweek at Samford, 5:45. Here on ESPN, on Friday, we have the NBA playoffs. On Saturday, as well as a fantastic couple of play-in games last night with the Hornets having to hit a couple of crazy shots just to not only survive, but then to take it in overtime. And then the nightcap. I mean, how crazy Danny Avija just going absolutely berserk in Phoenix to take down the Suns. We have a couple of those games. Houston, the Rockets taking on the Lakers, rather, at 7 o'clock on Saturday. And Sunday, Jacob's Celtics taking on somebody at 11:30 a.m. in Format C on that side of things. So as always, a very busy weekend coming up here on the family of radio stations. That'll do it here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate Jordan Hill once again of Dogs 24/7 joining us as he does every single Wednesday at 2:30. A couple of great guests tomorrow, maybe some answers on the college basketball transfer portal. Probably not, but you know where we'll be, right here on ESPN 106.7. Tune in to Wings, or to W96.3 W Lee, that is, to listen to Auburn High and Opelika do battle on the baseball diamond. And for Jacob Goins, I'm Christian Griffin. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you later.